Committee will come to order. Good morning, sorry we're just a bit late this morning, John. I'm going to open the public hearing on House Bill 3123 and have the staff read the summary. And Mike Dewey, there he is.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. House Bill 3123 allows non-petrificable solid waste disposal sites approved before January 1, 2002 to be maintained, expanded, or enhanced for a two-year period. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Mike Dewey, for the record, representing Waste Management. With me is Frank Hammond, who's a lawyer in Portland and does work on behalf of Waste Management in a number of areas. Let me first of all try and explain why Waste Management is up here first with a bill that was in the request of the Oregon Farm Bureau. A little history might be in order. We have an issue regarding the expansion of the Hillsboro landfill, which Waste Management owns and operates. And I went to Representative Starr to have a bill introduced that would deal with the expansion issue in this legislature, and met with legislative counsel on the language and the like, and kept coming back to the representative to find out where the bill was in the process. And ultimately, they had thought they had dropped the bill, and a couple weeks later, 3123 comes in. And the language is almost identical to the language that we, Waste Management, had requested through Representative Starr. So I'm still waiting for the Starr bill to come through. And ultimately, I think there's a problem or a mix-up here. And I go to the Farm Bureau, Don Schellenberg, and I say, Don, I know you're interested in land use issues. Do you know anything about House Bill 3123? And he said, well, I first needed to do was look up what the word petrusible meant.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'll get into that. But nonetheless, he said, really, that is not our bill. And then I went to Representative Krupp, and they assumed because it was a bill that dealt with land use, it was a Farm Bureau bill through them. The bill should have gone to Representative Starr. And so I talked to the Farm Bureau about it, and if we need to change the sponsor and do those kinds of things, that would be fine if the Farm Bureau feels that is needed. But nonetheless, this is a bill that Waste Management has to have introduced. So hopefully that's a little bit of background, and I don't know if I don't see the Farm Bureau here with regard to the bill. Let me explain then the issue. The issue is this. Waste Management owns the Hillsboro landfill. It's located outside of the urban growth boundary. And the footprint is in rural residential 9 property, zone property, and EFU property. The landfill had purchased about 22 acres, what is called the Baker property, which is the 22 acres. So you have rural residential here, and then you have adjacent to it EFU land. Notwithstanding this being high-value farmland, it really doesn't come into play in terms of preserving farmland in Washington County in the sense of where it's located and the small uses in terms of acreage that it could be used for. Now, this is, we talked about, is a non-petrusible landfill. In other words, this is a landfill that does not take your garbage that we put out on the curb. It takes demolition waste, construction waste, special waste. It's designed for that purpose, for either businesses or citizens that have that kind of waste. Now, what occurred, and Mr. Hammond, if we want to get into the technical side of the equation, what occurred is there was an issue involving a golf course and wanting to expand onto EFU land. It had 9 holes, and it wanted to expand. And ultimately, the Court of Appeals, I think in 97 maybe, agreed with with the golf course and not with LCDC, and they were allowed to expand. After that, LCDC or the commission adopted a rule, and let me explain what the rule says. This is OAR 660033. 031018. Now, that's part of the problem with our land use laws and regulations. There are an awful lot of them. But nonetheless, this is what it says, and it's pretty simple. It says, existing facilities wholly within a farm use zone may be maintained, enhanced, or expanded, subject to other requirements of the law. Now, the key word here is wholly. The expansion or the maintenance has to be with fully within the EFU zone. The waste management landfill is, again, not wholly within an EFU zone. Landfills are permitted within EFU zones. As a matter of fact, they operate the facility in Arlington, which is pretty much all of Eastern Oregon EFU. So arguably, Hillsboro Landfill cannot expand because of this rule. But the agreement from everybody was that they would be allowed to expand. That was the situation. And then along comes the impediment, the rule. And that's why we need legislation. Now, let me say that what we've tried to do here, and we are requesting an amendment to narrow this down a little bit. We are trying to, and we can do this, have this, first of all, apply only to marginal lands. And by doing that, then it only applies to Lane County and Washington County. Secondly, it would only apply to non-petrusible landfills, and it does in the bill. And third, we would have this law, if you will, expire after 2 years. And the reason we do that, if there is an issue about another landfill and expanding onto EFU land, it could not occur because it would not be located in Washington County. It would not be non-petrusible. So we are trying to make sure that we speak only to this particular issue and no other issue in terms of landfills. What's important here is, in terms of construction, it's important that they be able to use this space fairly soon in terms of engineering and construction, and that was their intent all along. If the landfill were to close prematurely, you do have some issues about where do you take your non-petrusible waste. And you would take it either to McMinnville, a landfill there, or the Lakeside facilities. Lakeside, I think, is 15 miles away, and McMinnville is about 25 or 30 miles away. So you have a situation in terms of convenience also for the individuals. Let me say, anytime you do these kinds of expansions, there's mitigation requirements in terms of scenic easements. If there are wetlands, and there are wetlands there, you need to mitigate there, and waste management does that and will fully cooperate with DEQ and others with regard to doing those kinds of issues. So hopefully I've explained why we need the bill. It's essential for the expansion, at least the orderly expansion, and we don't believe that there is any opposition. We did talk in a meeting earlier in the year with, I'm going to call him Commissioner Tom Bryan, who is the chair of the Washington County Commission, to let him know that we were moving in this direction. So with that, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'd be happy to answer any questions. We think it is the rule is an unintended consequence that occurs from time to time. And we think the easiest way to fix it is through a small and minor change in the statutes, at least from our perspective.
I think I need to make one clarification. Frank Hammond, for the record. This is a situation where, and Mike described it, but I just want to make it really clear. The landfill's entrance is on urban land within the urban growth boundary, and that is zoned residential 9. The rest of the landfill, with the exception of a very old portion, is outside the urban growth boundary on EFU land and was permitted to expand on EFU land in the past by Washington County. The situation with the golf course was the golf course a few years ago was entirely within the urban growth boundary. When it applied to expand under an earlier version of this high-value farmland rule that Mike read to you, out from urban land onto EFU land, and the Court of Appeals said that was allowed under that rule. So to prevent that from happening again, the Land Conservation and Development Commission enacted this wholly within requirement without realizing that it might preclude things like we're talking about here, where we have a tiny portion of this landfill that is outside the outside the EFU zone. Literally, its entrance for the most part. And then the rest of the landfill is on EFU land. And under the statute and under previous versions of LCDC's rules, it was contemplated that landfills like this would be able to expand. And I don't think anyone foresaw that we'd have this kind of situation develop. So that's just a clarifying remark.
Okay, to clarify, I guess I have a question. On Section 5, where it says that the amendments become operative January 1st, 2004, in Sections 3 and 4, and that's the amended language, doesn't that just pull out what we're putting in? We just pull it from 2004?
That's right.
Yes, Madam Chair, that would be the intent. Just to be clear, that, if there were another landfill like this down the road, and after that period of time, that they would not be able to because this statute would not exist.
Okay. So theoretically, if they wanted to before 2004, they could. Is that correct?
They could, but we, Madam Chair, there aren't very many landfills in the state of Oregon, and most of them are, the smaller ones are closing. Because of the nature of non-protrusible, where it would be located, we can't imagine that there is another landfill. But we just want to be sure if there is one cited in the future, and if this is a good rule, then the rule should stay.
Okay.
Because I think it's important to say that we're talking about a landfill here, but there are other types of permitted uses, as you know, that are allowed to operate within a EFU zone. But we wanted to make it clear we're talking about landfills and nothing else.
Representative Cruz.
Yeah. Mike, what amendments do you need?
Madam Chair and Representative Cruz, in talking to LCDC, they had thought, and we had not had a chance to get the amendments finished. We will bring some amendments to you at a work session, hopefully a work session, that will deal with the issue of not the $400,000 that you see in the bill today, mm-hmm. but have it only pertain to marginal lands. We think that's a cleaner way of doing it, and it's not going to be difficult to draft, but we've not had the time to sit down with LCDC to do that. I mean, Legislative Council.
Further questions? So you're not prepared to move at this time?
No, we would like, I have a note from the good Representative Starr to have the amendments drafted, and we do not believe it would take very long to do this. And so I'm going to go to the council today to have the amendments adopted or fixed.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
We will intend to deal with this bill again, hopefully before we run into Jackson, Texas. I'm closing the hearing on House Bill 3123. I'm going to open a public hearing on 3592 and call Stephen Donald. Morning.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Stephen Donnell. I requested this bill prior to the ruling on Measure 7, and I'll give an explanation as to why I requested the bill. Under present statute, the director of the Land Conservation Division has on his staff two staff members who basically handle those aspects of legislation that come to LCDC underneath requests which are allowed for under present law. At the same time, he also has access to two attorneys within the Attorney General's Department who give him information as to lawsuits and other information that come before him. So this would mean then that the basic function of the Attorney General's Department is to protect enacted legislation in the Oregon Constitution. And at the same time, for instance, right night now or until Measure 7, I don't know if the case has been dismissed, Measure 7 allowed for the fact that you could get a claim on loss of value of property. As soon as Measure 7 passed, there was a $5 million lawsuit because someone said they couldn't have a gravel pit. Well, that means that the Attorney General is in the position of advising the Department of Land Conservation Development in two areas. One, on the one side, they're supposed to protect the law. At the same time, they're supposed to tell the LCDC how to handle the issue before them. But what this bill was proposed to do was to create a council general within the Department of Land Conservation Division, which is appointed by the governor, whose sole responsibility would be to handle land use issues that are requested to come before them by parties in proceedings arising from local jurisdictions. Irrespective of whether LCDC is involved in these things, there is somewhat of a conflict, as previously described, and the idea was is that when you have a council general who's appointed by the governor, he's impartial and he's neutral, and his sole function and responsibility is land use laws. The Attorney General has indicated on some occasions in the press that he has more basically than what he can do, and so this bill was put in at my request, and it arose out of a situation whereby I'm involved with a land use dispute. LCDC gave the local jurisdiction some conflicting advice from the statute, and Lubo ruled that my interpretation of the statute was correct, and so it was remanded back. In this case, you have a situation of where if the Council General had existed within LCDC, when this type of situation arose, he could have told the people within LCDC, look, this is an error. You can't tell the local jurisdiction what you told them, and therefore we're not going to get involved. And I personally went to LCDC and asked them to become involved, and they refused to do so. So that's the reason for the bill. It was put in under a set of circumstances which no longer exist. You can do with the bill what you like. But as far as I'm concerned, there still can be a problem because somewhere along the line within this legislature, there's going to be a Measure 7 type a statute or an enactment. And I think this issue and this part of the situation should be addressed. So I thank you for your time, and I would be glad to answer any questions.
Mr. Donnell, I guess I'm wondering, would this person that would be appointed, would they come out of the Attorney General's office then? Or?
No, he would be an independent a council general for LCDC. He would be working within LCDC as an independent legal authority for them, appointed by the governor.
Okay. Question? Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I see there is a blank in the bill for fiscal impact. Is that something that we have?
We have not received a fiscal statement. We have not received a fiscal. This would have to go to Ways and Means if we were to pass it out. They would have to decide they wanted to fund it. And we could determine if this was a good idea or not. Our job. Further questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time.
Bob Rindy, ELCD.
Good morning, members of the committee. I'm Bob Rindy with the Department of Land Conservation and Development, and I don't have anything written to give you today on this, in part because I did want to have the benefit of the sponsor's explanation before we could understand what this bill was about. I want to remind the committee, or perhaps some of you, I know there were some of you who weren't here last time, but last session, House Bill 2484 was passed in order to require that any appeals that DLCD is going to pursue with regard to a local government land use action must first be approved by the full LCDC. We worked closely with Representative Morgan and others last session to establish that process. It's now underway. We have rules and procedures in place so that every appeal that the department seeks first has a hearing before the full Land Conservation and Development Commission, and the commission may decide to go forward or to withdraw that appeal. In light of that, it's not clear to us why a further change would be necessary to establish a position which, I can't tell from the legislation whether that position would in some way be able to trump a decision of LCDC. It might be interpreted that way. If not, then it's simply one other position, an attorney position, making recommendations to LCDC and having the commission decide to appeal or not appeal, which is essentially the same process we have now. But in the wording of this bill, the Consul General is actually empowered primarily to evaluate the record for errors by the Land Conservation and Development Commission or the department. In other words, as written, the bill does not resolve the situation that was just brought to you. The Consul General is not asked to evaluate the record of local actions. He or she is asked to evaluate the record of LCDC. So we're confused as to how this even works, and for that reason alone, we would urge you to not pass this. The other, I think, issue that I would raise in light of the previous speaker is that right now LCDC does receive advice from the Attorney General. We do have an attorney who's assigned to the commission, and then as matters are brought to the commission, whether they be primarily periodic review or other matters that come to the commission may turn to that legal counsel at any point and receive advice. And I think what this bill does, and I don't understand how it's going to be resolved, is it calls into question whether the intent is to have some other legal counsel rather than that legal counsel, or whether we would have simultaneously legal counsel sitting there, as is currently the situation, advising the commission, plus some additional new legal counsel position, which is not really empowered to advise the commission in the statute, I presume would also be staff. I just think there's a variety of issues in this that are not worked out. We can't understand how that would work, and perhaps that has to do with just the drafting, but I'm not sure. It might have to do with just the notion of the concept itself hasn't been worked through so that we understand how it fits in the scheme. So with that, I'll stop and be glad to take any questions.
Questions? Representative Cruz.
Yeah, I have some of the same confusion. I mean, legally, the Attorney General is the lawyer for the agency.
Correct.
And I guess, does this bring that into question, because it doesn't address that part of the that part of law that defines that relationship.
Madam Chair, Representative Cruz, that's what we were noticing. It's not clear whether we have competing lawyers or not, but it looks like it could be that.
I guess I also kind of look at maybe what the function here being somewhat similar to what LUBA already does, or
Chair Close, Representative Cruz, I don't see it as doing that, because I think it's clear that the point of this position would be to be in charge of taking appeals to LUBA. Okay. LUBA would still exist, but right now our DLCD cases are argued before LUBA by the Attorney General.
Right.
This doesn't even provide that this position would argue those cases before LUBA. I think this position is primarily one of trying to direct the commission whether they should seek a LUBA appeal or not. But once that appeal is filed, unless this bill is changed, I don't think this bill puts the Consul General in a position of actually arguing the case before LUBA.
Would it be correct to say that this would be like an independent counsel for the people, the state should be, but sometimes
Chair Close, I understand that's what was intended, at least from my talking with the proponent and listening to his explanation a minute ago, that there's supposed to be an independence about this position, but I don't know how that is necessarily for, quote, the people or anybody else. It just establishes the position to evaluate things that may be brought as appeals. In the example that was just presented to you, the department looked at a situation with a local government and decided, well, the law is unclear, it's confusing. We decided we wouldn't appeal. The proponent went forward and did appeal and won. But I don't know that an independent counsel or whatever this would be might have reached any different conclusion prior to LUBA ruling on that situation. There are a variety of situations out there where the law, which come up, which the law is not clear on, and we may at some point appeal those and may not. But I think that an independent person in the department would have the same problems that we would in some of these cases and just trying to make up their mind whether or not we ought to bring an appeal. Those are the kinds of issues that are typically brought out in our bringing of our appeals to LCDC and having the public hearing, as those cases are aired and we have a full public disclosure of what the various situations or legal remedies might be in a case, and ultimately LCDC votes. I think this person might then be able to overturn that vote if I read this statute right, this proposed statute. So not clear who they're working for, whether that's they're working for the director, the commission, or, quote, the people.
Okay. Thank you. Further questions? Thank you very much. Mike Kallmeyer, Thousand Friends of Oregon.
Chair Close, members of the committee, my name is Mike Kallmeyer, and I am offering testimony on behalf of 1,000 Friends of Oregon. We are opposed to House Bill 3592. Number one, we don't believe that the position is necessary and that the department already is getting advice, legal advice from the Attorney General's office, and there is also already in place a process which requires the commission to approve the department's participation in reviews of land use decisions and by the Land Use Board of Appeals and the department's participation in that review. And if we believe that it is necessary for the department once in a while to participate in such reviews in order to enforce the Oregon Land Use Planning Program, and if we understand this proposed bill correctly, the Council General could direct the commission or the director to refrain from seeking further review of the matter, and we believe that would not be helpful in the department's mission to implement and enforce the Oregon Land Use Planning Program. If you have any questions, I would be happy to try to answer them.
Questions? Thank you very much. Okay, that completes the testimony. I'm closing the public hearing on House Bill 3592. And I'm going to open a hearing on House Bill 3810. This bill is Representative Cupp's bill, and he is not prepared to testify at this time. We're going back in the schedule, but we are giving it the tap in, tap out. So I'm closing the hearing on House Bill 3810. And I'm going to open a, this isn't here. We're going to stand at ease for a minute. We're going to take a brief recess while we round up some people here. So we will recess for 5 minutes. Okay, House Water and Environment Committee will come back to order. And I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3039. Representative Cruz.
Madam Chair, I move we reconsider the motion by which we failed to pass House Bill 3039.
Representative Cruz moves that we reconsider the motion by which we failed to pass House Bill 3039. Is there a discussion?
Only one question I have, Madam Chair.
We are going to have testimony if we reconsider.
Oh, I see. This is what we're doing. Okay.
The vote to reconsider.
This is the vote to reconsider. Okay.
Further discussion. Those of the opinion that we should reconsider the motion by which we fail to pass House Bill 3039 will answer aye as your name is called, and those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Representative
Half? No.
Representative
Gentle?
Aye.
Representative Corey?
Is excused.
Representative King?
Is excused.
Representative Cruz?
Aye.
Representative
Lake?
Aye.
Representative
Morrison?
Aye.
Representative Morgan?
Aye.
Chair
Close?
Both aye. Motion carries. We're going to call forward Commissioner Nyquist and also Bob Rindy to fill us in on the attorney's opinion. Megan, can you refresh our memory about the question about the attorney?
Yes, House Bill 339, there were some, the department had not had an opportunity yet to review the bill with their attorneys that requested. And so this bill applies the governing body of the county, a person who's interested in real property in the county may be affected by unlawful structures and land use is not required by the provisions allowing remedies to avail itself to remedies allowed.
Commissioner Nyquist, your comments.
I would just urge that you vote this out of committee with a due pass recommendation. Based on the testimony you heard last week, I believe it was on this issue.
And this was a situation in Lynn County.
Right. I mean, it isn't just one situation. We have a number of them where folks just don't get along, or neighbors, and we wind up in the middle of it, and we wind up in the middle of it in court. And even though we haven't concluded that a violation has occurred, we're stuck with the charge of defending that legally. And we have limited resources. We have, you know, a lot of things that require legal attention in Lynn County. And we would hope that folks not look to the county as their first chance to resolve disputes, and that they work those things out themselves.
And Bob Rindy.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. I'm Bob Rindy with the Department of Land Conservation and Development. And as you may recall, last time this bill was up, we had not had a chance to get an analysis by our legal counsel. We have now got that analysis, and our legal counsel's indication to us is that this bill does not change the current law that may doesn't mean shall, but and that is the intent of the bill is to say that may means may, as I understand it. I'm sorry I can't there's some parts of the legal opinion that I don't understand, so I won't try and decipher it to you, but the bottom line of it is that we are neutral on the bill. And we're not going to oppose it or urge its passage.
Thank you. Questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Monis Anderson.
Thank you. Just for either one of you, I just want to make sure that we know that the intent of this bill is that the staff that we have working for us at the local level aren't going to abuse the system and overlook land issues that they really should enter in on. But I think this is for those leaving the judgment to the local level for the frivolous types of requests.
Clearly, it is not our intent to abandon our comprehensive plan or any of the land use laws that are on the books, either the state or the county level. This is a matter of You're exactly right. Getting involved, getting stuck in the middle of frivolous lawsuits where really the issues are between two individual parties, and we think it best if they work those out amongst themselves.
I think we had testimony that private remedies are not removed under this bill.
Correct.
They still have that. Representative Morgan.
Mr. Rinder, could you describe to the committee the process of oversight that DLCD has over local land use decisions? I think that might help Representative Mona Sanderson understand how it's really not, and this bill won't change it, that there is a lot of oversight about what the decisions are that are made on the local level, and that if this was used as a way to put a different burden of proof or a different burden of involvement on the county's part, that your department would be watching that very carefully.
Chair Close, Representative Morgan, my understanding, again, from the AG is that this bill would not change the current process. Yes, we have oversight, and as do the citizens. By and large, the land use system relies on individual citizens in a major way, because there is absolutely no way that we monitor or keep track of thousands, really, of land use decisions that are made every year. And the bill does not change that. Our authority comes in a couple of ways. First of all, we may appeal a local decision, as we discussed in the previous bill. We do that very rarely, but we do have that ability. Moreover, the commission has a special authority whereby either citizens or the department may bring an order to enforce, an enforcement order on a local government if, for example, a local government has engaged in a pattern of practice of not enforcing their own land use codes or in some other manner violating their own land use laws or local codes. We may bring that. Again, that is extremely rare, but in fact, we had a lot more earlier in the program than we have of recent, but over 20 years of the program, an average of one a year. This bill does not in any way affect those authorities, those commission's ability in those matters, and again, it's our understanding it wouldn't change the way local governments must view their own codes and enforcing.
Further questions? Representative Cruz.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3039 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Cruz has moved House Bill 3039 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative Hass.
I just want to say I think this is reasonable, and I thought it was reasonable last week. I just want to make sure that the department didn't have its legal analysis didn't have that hidden bomb that and I voted against reconsideration in a time of temporary insanity when I was sitting here.
Representative Cruz.
Madam Chair, I think I'd just remind Representative Haas that any time lawyers are involved, there's always a hidden bomb somewhere.
You're probably in the wrong profession, all of it. Further discussion?
I'll just say one thing. I just think it makes it clearer that this is a may for the counties, and it may keep them from being sued, and, you know, when they're sort of in the middle, and I think that we could do them a great service if we were able to provide this clarification. Further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Is
aye.
Is excused.
Aye.
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 Morgan.
Aye. Both aye. Motion carries, and I will carry the bill. If there's nothing else for the good of the committee, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.